You're listening to the public feed of Carefree Highway Revisited, which includes only a portion of this conversation. To hear the complete discussion, become an FM Plus subscriber. Sign up in Apple Podcasts or see the show notes for details.
The first guest of the evening is truly a poet. He's an artist. He is a friend and an inspiration to anyone who I think who has ever played the guitar or tried to write poetry. Would you please welcome Gordon Lightfoot?
All I'm after is to be on your winning side. All I need is to be turning back the tide. 'Cause I care too much for the life that I led. What you're thinking could be anybody's guess. This is Carefree Highway Revisited, the show that celebrates Gordon Lightfoot's music song by song, a proud member of the FM Podcast Network. I'm your host, Mike Messner, and with me today is a fellow Lightfoot fan making his fourth appearance on the show, Jeffrey Coast. Jeffrey, thank you so much for joining me today.
Well, thank you, Mike. It's wonderful to be back on the show again.
Now, before we go any further, remind us where you're from and then tell us what's been going on with you since the last time you were on the show.
Well, I'm from good old Northeast Ohio, live about 1 hour outside of Cleveland. I'm about a little bit, if anyone's familiar with Youngstown, Ohio, I'm actually about 25 minutes living from there. Well, some things have changed. I've actually started a new job last summer and working as a sales rep for a tobacco company, so that's new. Traveling in the territory, get to meet some interesting people, and so it's a nice little stretch. But on the music side of things, it's got some wonderful opportunities. I've gotten to meet some really talented musicians, and I'm actually getting ready to start recording some songs in the near future. TBD on that, but it's coming.
Now, you wanted to talk about All I'm After on today's program. So I'm wondering, what's the reason for wanting to talk about that? What does the song mean to you, Jeffrey?
All I'm After is, being the Lightfoot fan that I am, and as many others are on this podcast, we all love Lightfoot's deep tracks. And I really have to agree with Bob Dylan when he said that there's not a bad song that Gordon Lightfoot wrote, and there's a song that he did not like. And I love a lot of his deep tracks on his albums. There's just some really, really good gems in there. And this one is one of them. I really like it because, well, again, I mentioned this before too. It has to go back to, I'm really close with my dad, and this was a song that he had on his cassette tape that he had recorded from the vinyl. And and he always told me, I just love this song. I remember every time we'd be driving or something, he'd really turn it up. And so, you know, that's been with me all these years. So now when I'm out driving and working or wherever and this song comes on, it's just the same thing. And it just brings back a lot of good memories. But I really like not just that memory for me, but I like what Gordon says in the song. It's a really romantic song, and the music is just it's an amazing arrangement.
Do you have a personal anecdote about that song and what it means to you?
Nothing yet, but I do, when I do meet the right girl, I do intend to actually want to slow dance to this song, even though I can't dance. But man, this is one of those songs that I think would be perfect. And I know that previous girls I've dated in the past, I've always shared Gordon Lightfoot with them, and they've always developed a like for his songs. So I figure they always like the romantic side of his writing. And so I just envision myself someday, even probably maybe at my wedding, if we're going to talk way ahead of time here, that would be a perfect song to slow down. If not just the two of us in our home, you know, it's a perfect song for that. And that's definitely an anecdotal thing for me of what I can see, even if it's a future memory, if it hasn't happened yet.
Now, is this more of a situational song for you? Like there has to be a perfect setting where you would listen to it? Or could you listen to this song kind of absolutely anywhere?
I could listen to this song just about any time, anywhere. It's like one of those songs. It doesn't matter where I'm at. I can just listen to it, whether it's out walking on the street or sitting here at home working in the background or even out driving. It's a perfect song for any one of those things in my book.
Now, this song is something of a rarity in that I can't find anything at all. I mean, nothing about how this song came to be, what the circumstances were when he was writing it, what it was about, who it's about, any of that kind of stuff. Did I miss anything? Do you have an angle on how it got composed?
No, I'm with you on that. This song is one of those rare songs that either he was never asked about or was never divulged in the book. I can only imagine. I know some of the songs that he recorded, I always thought when it came to album time, as he often said in Jenny's book, he would go into a writing session. He would write, you know, 12, 13 songs. In my mind, I always thought that those songs that appeared on those albums he wrote for were the ones he wrote during those sessions. But then again, you look at songs like Go My Way or even Blackberry Wine were all written either in 1971, written in like 1968 and then recorded in 1970. And then Blackberry Wine, copyrighted 1979, recorded 1981. So it could be anybody's guess on this song. I would imagine that he most likely wrote this probably preparing for those album sessions for Shadows. I feel like that it's probably a good guess, but it's really who's to say, because we don't know.
Well, let's jump into the words a little bit. There's a lot to go over here. All I'm after is to be on your winning side. So the implication here, I guess, is that he isn't on her winning side at this moment, but he either wants to get there or he wants to get back there. All I need is to be turning back the tide. And I'm not sure if that means he wants to change the past, which of course is a fool's errand, or maybe he wants to change the course of the relationship. It's hard to say. 'Cause I care too much for the life that I led, and that's where I got stumped. So what do you think he's talking about here?
It comes a good question, because when I first heard the song way back without looking at the lyrics, it's almost like he said the life that I live, but then I saw in future listenings, oh, he said the life I lead. So in my mind, it feels like that he's referring to his life as a musician, as a touring recording musician who's not home very much. And and he does mention that even in his later years, he mentioned how much he loved being on the road. And when he wasn't on the road, he was restless. So, and it seems like that, you know, and that's where like some of his relationships didn't always make it, was because he loved being on the road, loved to do what he did. And I think that's where in some of his relationships probably didn't last, because he wasn't home very much for the relationship to remain stable. If that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. All I'm after is the sun and the summer nights. And that kind of implies that he's either figuratively or literally in a cold, dark winter place, because he wouldn't be yearning for it if it wasn't there. Also, sun and summer are generally cheerful and positive settings. I mean, the earth is coming alive. It's warmer, it's more palatable, all those kinds of things. By the seashore, don't want no more neon lights. And it made me wonder, does this mean that he's tired of life in a city, or is he tired of the performing lifestyle, the troubadour lifestyle? What do you think?
Yeah, I think that the performing side he always loved, but I do think about the neon lights. I think that, of course, and you hear even a lot of musicians who tour, the best part is the performing side, but it's the traveling in between where you're seeing neon lights from your bus or your plane or wherever. And even Bob Seger's song, Turn the Page, talks about the downsides of being on the road. So I could see where the traveling side, seeing neon lights, can get boring. Being on stage is probably where it's the best 2.5 hours you're good, but then the rest of it's a grueling traveling schedule. So I could see where he's on the road, and traveling can get you very tired, whether again flying or on the bus, and wanting to get back to a more simplistic thing. And we know that he loved being in nature and going on canoe trips. He always did canoe trips before he recording sessions, because it got him also back into shape for going on the road. So it was like a way to pull away, to recharge. So to want to be on the seashore, you know, when the sun and summer nights, it sounds like that's a place to recharge, rest, get away, and just disconnect and be where, you know, in a place where there's nothing demanded of you.
Yeah. And when there's nothing demanded of you, you're probably in a better place to write and to compose music. And we know that he did a lot of composing in conjunction with those canoe trips. Just the sand and the sky as the hours roll by. Maybe there was some time when he was with this woman by the sea that he is now reminiscing about. And then he says, ain't it funny how the world seems to be back there in my dreams? And obviously dreams has a whole bunch of different possible connotations here. Do you have any idea about what he was trying to say here?
Yeah. So it's like he's thinking, you know, how the world seems to be back there in my dream. So, yeah, it's like he was reflecting that. Looking forward to those sun and sunrise. So it's like he's looking back in retrospect. And then and it's like a world that he was in with this person that at this point in time seems to suggest by that line he's no longer in. So that's an interesting point, because it seems like he's talking about something that he could easily get back to with this person. But then when he says in that world seems to be back there in my dreams, and it's like either it's a past part of that relationship that has been neglected, or it's no longer happening. Perhaps maybe even these two are separated right now, and he's seeing that at this point in time, the world that which we had is not, it's at this point only exists in my dreams and not in the current reality.
All I see is my reflection in your wild and winsome ways. And I can't help but think about he might be looking back on his own wild and winsome ways, or how he was playing seducer, all of the women that he tried to make time with, so to speak. It would explain how he sees his own reflection in that mirror, don't you think?
Yeah, I would agree with that. It seems like that you're wild and winsome ways. I like the way he writes that. So it's like, in a way that, yeah, it seems like he's attracted to the one side of things that draw him in, and then there's also the wild side, then there's also the winsome side. So, yeah, I would agree. Given what he's divulged and revealed in the Jennings book, I would agree. I agree with your assessment on that one. That makes the most sense.
All I'm after is to be the flame in your tattoo. Be the one girl who can thrill me through and through. This is just a guess, but I must confess it feels better being certain. And he isn't certain about where he stands at this point, and that bothers him. That's a major part of the human condition, isn't it? We don't like uncertainty. But now he's talking about, please excuse my truthfulness. And does that kind of imply that he hasn't been 100% truthful before? Is he being blunt to the point of making this person uncomfortable? Any thoughts?
Yeah, it seems like maybe perhaps there wasn't a whole lot of honesty he feels on his part. And maybe he felt that he never quite really said how he really felt. Mm-hmm. Or perhaps even says, please excuse my truthfulness. It almost sounds like he's being blunt, like, please forgive me for being blunt, but this is exactly how I feel about this, whether or not you might agree. This is how I feel, and I'm basically laying my cards on the table. That's my interpretation of that.
Well, that's all the time we have for here in the public feed. If you'd like to hear the rest of this conversation, along with all of our other extended and bonus episodes, become an FM Plus subscriber. Sign up in Apple Podcasts or at fmpods.com. You can see the show notes for details.